Amen. You know, this morning as we finish Titus, like I told the early service, you know, it's really a divine time, a divine moment, when the Lord elected for us to go through the those, 46 verses or whatnot, in Titus concerning the church there. You know, remember Paul, of course, left Titus in Crete. The Cretans were a lovely bunch. They were always lying, you know, and all the rest of it, lazy gluttons. How would you like that to be said about us? And so they had a rough bunch. Titus had a rough bunch to deal with. So he was called there, or left by Paul, to set things in order, the things that were lacking. And of course, that was the teaching of sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. And we know that, you know, if we today, if we take the sound doctrine that we have learned, and by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the grace of God, we apply the sound doctrine, then we will be a healthy church. Amen? So remember the theme, or really there are many themes in Titus, but one in particular stands out above them all, and that is the word, the phrase, good works. No less than seven times in the epistle that we just completed last Sunday, we learned that Paul had mentioned that seven times. Now, a church that obeys the Lord by His grace through the power of the Spirit and walks in the good works that God has prepared, that's a healthy church. Amen? Oh, guys, come on. What's wrong? Are you guys, what are you, Lutherans or something? I mean, no. I'm teasing. I love Lutherans, okay, with all my heart. Loved one, listen to me. You know, if we don't do the things God asks us to do by His power and strength, are we a healthy church? No. Well, do you want to be a healthy church in 2023? If the Lord tarries? Absolutely. So let me give you the seven things again from Titus before we get into our text this morning about the church doing good works, okay? Titus 1:8, it says that we are to love what is good. Titus 2:3, teaching what is good, doing what is good. Titus 2:7, it says, in all things, everything that we do, showing yourself a pattern, that word means a model of good works. Everything that we do, the church. It says in Titus 2:14 that we are His own special people. Zealous, that word means on fire, devoted to. Can't wait, we're eager. Zealous for good works. Titus 3:1, it says that we are to be ready, and that word ready means eager for every good work that God has given unto us. In Titus 3:8, Paul says this is a faithful saying, that these things I want you to affirm or stress constantly to those who have believed in God. Have you believed in God? Yes. All right. Then I'm stressing this to you. Those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain. That word means to careful to concentrate on. Careful to devote yourself or prioritize the doing, if you will, of good works. Because these things are good and profitable to men. Now listen carefully. God's grace, the unmerited, unearned, undeserved divine favor of the living God. God's grace does not excuse the believer, and it does not excuse His church that Jesus purchased with His own blood, good works, does it? In other words, we can just blow that off, right? No, we can't. Grace doesn't give us that option. It says in Titus 3:14, let our people, of course it was written to Titus and the Cretan church, but we can bring it up to Calvary Chapel today, let our people also learn to maintain good works, meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So good works, believe it or not, is the habitual life of a believer and the habitual life that's in a church. It's very important that I define good works to you, okay? Especially in the day, in the time that we live in. Because, you know, the true gospel, when it comes to good works, the true gospel has absolutely nothing today in common with the social gospel. Does that make sense? The social gospel movement, okay? Now, the social gospel movement that started, the late 1800s, the 1900s, is so huge today. And that movement, they believe that the betterment of society equals salvation. In other words, they believe that if you feed enough people, If you educate enough people, if you dig enough wells and provide water for enough people, if you redistribute the wealth that's in all the nations, they believe then that you will see God's kingdom manifest itself on earth. That is far from Bible. Amen? Yes. Listen, the social gospel movement, they're post-millennialists. In other words, they believe that by doing all these good works and educating people and digging enough wells and all the rest of it, will usher in the second kingdom of God, or rather, the second coming will usher in the kingdom of God, and then all of a sudden everything will be okay. That's not scriptural, loved one, and that's not the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus come to our planet to be a political or a social reformer? No, you won't find that in the Bible at all. Did Jesus come to this planet, our Lord, our Savior, did he come to wipe out poverty all over the earth? No, that's a great thing to wipe out poverty, amen? But that's not why Jesus came. He came to die for the sins of the world, to wipe out man's sin. John 1:29, when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So with all that being said, feeding the poor is a wonderful thing. It is a good thing. But does that change their situation? No, it's just a band-aid, isn't it? Yeah, and not only that, does it change anyone's eternal destiny? No, it can, but just to do it doesn't do that. Now, you know, we can, like for example, look what we've done over the years. We've built home after home in Mexico and given that away to families, and you guys have fully furnished those homes, but that doesn't necessarily change a person's heart, does it? No, but it's a good thing to do. You know, the Bible is very clear about helping the poor. Proverbs 19:17, the foundational scripture of our charity here that was established in 2004. He who hath pity on the poor. Pity. That word doesn't mean that I feel sorry for the poor or I wish I could do something for the poor. The word pity means to give them a hand up, not a hand out. Amen? So he who hath pity on the poor, and listen to this part, lendeth unto God. In other words, we're giving a loan unto God when we help the poor. And then he says, and he, meaning God, will pay back what has been given. That scripture has sustained the Love Never Fails International since its inception and has never failed, no, not one time. So good works are not only about material poverty. I mean, that's a sad thing to be in it, but it's, you know, good works are about spiritual poverty, amen? See, we can change a person's environment, we can give them money, we can do all those things, but unless their heart is changed, it's not going to do any good eternally for them, right? And that's why if you want to see society changed, then the church has to do something. We have to be fishers of men, amen? We have to be soul winners. We have to be ambassadors for Christ. God has ministered or given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And because of that, if we do our job, will society change? Yes. Because the gospel, the good news, Jesus, he changes lives. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about good works and doing good things. Let me just give you a few, if you don't mind. In 3 John 11, John writes, and he says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. And he who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen God." So the Bible commands us to imitate what is good. And we know how to do that from the Word of God. Hebrews 13:16, he says, "Do not forget to do good." He says, "And to share with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." So good works, when we do them, it pleases our Lord. In Romans 12:21, it says, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." So, you know, good is like a powerful weapon, loved one. It can put out the darkness. In 1 Peter 2:15, it says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the foolishness of ignorant men, that you may put to silence." That word silence means to muzzle them. In other words, when the law see the good works of the church, of the believer, it so stuns, that's what that word means, silence, it stuns them so much they are absolutely speechless. What are we going to do with this scripture? Just came to my mind. Matthew 5:44, I believe it is. where Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. Have you done any of that lately? You know, those that despise you, those that use you, do good to them. There's something happens when we do what God commands us to do. Amen? Now, are you at Ephesians chapter 2? I want you to look there at verse 8, and let me set it up. You know that God, who is rich in mercy, man, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he has raised us up together. He has seated us with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. Amen? By grace, you've been saved. Thank God for that. And then in verse 8, he says, for by grace, the unmerited, unearned favor of God that you stand in 24/7, loved one, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now listen, did you see that? You have been saved. If you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, it's already done. It's a completed action. Past tense, you have been saved. You're not going to be saved. You are saved. And salvation, being saved, being rescued from sin and the devil and hell, loved one, that is a gift from eternal God. Amen? And I thank God for that. And that can never be earned. No one, no matter what you do, no one can be saved by doing something except one thing. Opening your heart and your mouth and saying, Lord, save me. Amen? That's all that we have to do. Spiritual, or rather salvation, is literally a gift from God that eliminates all of our boasting. It says there that we should not boast. We can't brag about it. It's God who saved us. We didn't do one thing. There's not anything you can do to earn God's approval. Did you know that? Except be in his Son. You know, after we're saved, there's a lot of people in the church, unfortunately, and they believe, okay, I'm saved now, you're on fire for the Lord, and that is a good thing. But we have this tendency to believe, okay, if I just do and do and do and do, God is, all these works, God's going to love me more, he's going to accept me more. But that's not true, is it? God already accepts you. Already, because you're in Christ Jesus. God already loves you. He loved you before you were saved. He loved me before I was saved. So human works, they do not add one thing after you're saved, loved one, or even before you're saved, to your righteousness. In other words, the imputed righteousness that now has been placed in your account, that you're justified from sin, just as if you had never sinned. Not one work you do. Anything today, if you're a Christian and if you have a feeling or you're trying to please God by works, I want you to listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to tell you about works. It says here, any attempt to find favor with God, any attempt to earn acceptance or to be made righteous before God by one's own effort, by one's own ability, or by my own willpower is a dead work. It's not a living work. See, the only way to be accepted in God is to be in Christ Jesus. Amen? And we know that. And you say, well, Bill, there's a lot of works. Yeah, there's a lot of works. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13:3, I think it is? He says, if I give all that I have, if my name is who owns Tesla? What is his name? A Musk. If my name is Elon or whatever his name is, doesn't matter. If I have all the money that Elon Musk has, and let's just go with another E. We have everything Elton John has. How's that one? Okay? We have all the money, or Bezos, whatever his name is, all of those guys, and we give it all away to the poor. And if we have not agape in our hearts, Paul says, meaning the love of God that's supernatural that can only come down from heaven into a born-again believer's heart, He says, it didn't profit you a penny because that's not a work from God. Are you following me? Very, very important. And here is the classic scripture, verse 10, that we really want to focus on. And I pray in Jesus' name that you get this. It's very important. He says, for we are, present tense, right this moment, church, we are God's or his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you believe in your heart, and really, do you really believe that you're God's masterpiece? That's what that means, his workmanship. The word is poema, whichever it is, in the Greek. And it literally means you're God's poem, okay? That's what the word implies. Listen, the body of Christ, the Christian, have you come to the conclusion in your heart that the church and the believer, they are God's masterpieces? Well, I tell you, that is so vital that you see that. That, you know, the word poem there, that I just, from the Greek word, you know, a poem, if I write a poem, that means I'm the author of that poem. Is that correct? Well, God says, you're my poem. Each one of you, you're my poem. And that means that God owns you. He loves you. And he's the one that created you. He's the one that's doing all this work for us. Now, listen to me. We have to move, if the Lord tarries, we have to move into next year, 2023. I know that you're already, Christmas is on your mind, and Christmas Eve, and family, travel, whatever you might be doing, buying presents, and all the rest of that. But my mind is not on that. My mind is already in the next year. And if the Lord tarries, we have to see ourselves, every believer and the church, we have to see ourselves as God sees us, or we will not. We will be on the wrong foundation. And the fact of the matter is, we have to see ourselves as his masterpiece. And we have to stop believing lies about ourselves. Listen, if I look at Bill, I go, I'm a mess. Okay? I know you don't think that about yourself, but I can just use me. I'm a mess. Okay? But God says, oh no, Bill, listen to me. You are complete in my son. Do you hear that? The word complete in Greek is pleru, meaning if you have a glass of water and you fill that glass of water all the way to the top and it's starting to run over, that means there's no more room for anything. You are complete in Christ Jesus. Nothing needs to be added. Nothing. You are already this very minute accepted in the beloved because of what Jesus has done. So we have to believe the truth about ourselves. And that is our position, and it's not going to change. We are literally God's masterpiece. And do you know what God does in his masterpiece, the church that he purchased with his son's blood? You know what he does? That is the place that he manifests his glory. Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is working in us, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen? And glory in his church, it says in the next verse, to all generations forever and ever and ever. Man, the glory of God. We have to start believing who we are in Christ Jesus. We live in this world, but you know what the Bible teaches us? What did John the Apostle say in 1 John 4:4? He says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. Man, listen, we have overcome this world because we are in Christ. And here's another thing, too, that we have to look at. If we're God's masterpiece and we're about good works in our life, do you look at yourself as God's good work? It's important. Philippians 1:6, being confidence of this very thing, that he, meaning God, who began a what? Good work. Say it again. Good work in you. You are a good work of God. He's going to get you there. It says, he who began a good work in you, he's going to do something. He will complete it. He will finish it. What God starts, he completes. Amen. He will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus our Lord. See, if God is in you, he is working. And you know what? You're going to get right one way or another because it's God who works in you to do as he pleases, as he wills. For his good pleasure. He owns you. He owns me. Amen. That's what it's all about. And if we have to realize that we belong to a supernatural family. And we live in a world that's afraid. We live in a world that's terrified. And we should not be a people that's shaken. You know, we don't have to worry about wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. We are citizens of an unshakable kingdom. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he creates an unshakable people. Amen? If you believe his word, if you're walking in the Spirit. The only thing that should be trembling are the demons of hell. And they are trembling. Amen? Yes. So listen, we're not the church weak. We're not the church helpless. We're the church powerful. Man, God is in control, and he's in control of our lives, and he's here with us right this very moment. But it says there, for we're his workmanship, his masterpiece. Now watch this. Created, and there's that word again, created in Christ Jesus. In other words, the new birth, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things have passed away, all things become new. And there are only two people, two kinds of people on this planet. And there's not any middle ground, loved one. And that is this. You're either in Adam, and in Adam, the Bible says, all die. Or you're in Christ. And it says, if you're in Christ, he will make us all alive. Amen? That's the only options. And not only that, when it comes to good works that God has called us to do, remember what it says in John 15, that you are the branches and he is the vine. He's our source of nourishment. He's our source of strength. So good works only come through Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember what he says in John 15, 5? He says, without me, you can do nothing. Now, it says created in Christ Jesus, and then it tells us what for. It says good works. You know, when it comes to good works, you have to remember that good works don't justify the believer. Good works don't justify the church. They identify the believer. They identify the church. Amen? The church should be a church. All churches, Christians, should be doing good works. If we are being conformed into the very image of Christ, Romans 8:29, if we're going from glory to glory to glory, okay, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we will walk in good works. Are you walking in good works? It's very important because, see, we were made for good works. Amen? And these good works, when were they prepared? When did God prepare them? Before the foundation of the world, before time began. So good works, very important. Good works are God's works, not ours, okay? In other words, good works are only those that God prepared. Only those that God prepared. Now, not only that, we don't manufacture good works. And when you do manufacture good works, that's when you can get in trouble. In other words, I'm going to help this family. And there's nothing wrong with helping a family. There's nothing wrong being good to people. But you know what? If you're not led by the Spirit, can you get that family in trouble? Well, I'm going to pay your rent this month because I helped you get out of the hole. But really, you don't know the situation. They're going to the Choctaw, whatever it's called up in Oklahoma, you know. And you're paying their rent that month. Oh, gosh, and you're hurting. I'm broke the next. And are you enabling them to live a lifestyle opposed to God? You see, you have to be led by the Spirit because that's not a good work, loved one. Remember what Peter and John, they're going to the temple at the hour of prayer, and the lame man's held out his, you know, to beg for money. And what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Peter says, I don't have anything, and God doesn't have anything to keep you in that lifestyle, and I'm not going to enable you by giving you money. Does that make sense? And sometimes we in our love for other people, we do a good work for them, but actually we're enabling them to stay exactly where they are. And that's not what God wants. He doesn't want that at all. But here's the thing. Good works are only prepared by God beforehand. And listen now, only the church can walk in good works that God has prepared. Now, there can be unbelievers that do great works, but they have no eternal lasting. Does that make sense? Because only a believer can do the good works of God. Those outside of Christ, they can't. Now, it says that we should walk in them. That's present tense continuous, so it means an habitual lifestyle, not for the church and for every believer. So every believer is created for good works that God has already prepared. Now listen, all we have to do is to walk in them. We don't have to work in them or work for them. All we have to do is walk in them. What does that mean? It means that right now, because you are born again, that you are saved, that you're filled with the Spirit of God, that you belong to God, and God has already prepared good works for you and for this church and so forth. It means that you now just walk in the atmosphere of that. In other words, you're zealous for good works. You're waiting for God to open the door. So where are good works found? They're found on the narrow road, loved one. The narrow road that leads to life. That's how you follow Jesus. Amen? We don't go down the Broadway. Jesus told us in Luke 9:23, anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Follow me. Travel with me. That's where the good works are found, as we follow Jesus. Remember what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus? He said in Ephesians 4:1, he says, beloved, he said, let us walk worthy of our calling, or the calling. Walk worthy. That implies progress. And the word worthy, as you know, is a picture of a set of scales, like 5 pounds and 5 pounds, and they're balanced, in other words. So we need to be equal in doctrine, and we need to apply the doctrine. So we hear God's word, we do God's word. If we only hear God's word and not do God's word, are we balanced? No, we're not balanced at all. And so that's what I mean. We should walk worthy. It says in Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. Now listen, good works are not the root, if you will, of the new birth. All right? Good works are the fruit of genuine salvation. See, when God justifies someone, good works just naturally follow. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, works just follow you, because God, you belong to the Lord. So that's what James says in James 2:14. He says this, what does it profit, or what good is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith? I have faith. I believe every promise of God. Man, I mean, I believe I need to go to church, all those things. I'm a believer. He says, okay, he says he has faith, but he does not have works. In other words, he has profession, but he has not practice. He says, can faith save him? Or literally, can that kind of faith save him? He says, if a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, you open your mouth and say to them, oh, I see there's a needy. And you say, oh, depart in peace, be warm, be filled. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? In other words, what good is that? And you know, you say, be warm, be filled, and they're starving to death. Does that help them? No. See, listen, if what we do lies only in what we say, then what good is our faith? What good is our faith if it's all just talk? Because again, it's easy to say, I believe in serving. I believe in tithing. I believe in prayer. I believe in the Bible. Okay, what do you do about it? See, it's very easy today in this generation to substitute words for doing, or for action, if you will, okay? What did James teach us in James 1:21? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Remember, hearing and doing is not two acts, it's one act. In other words, if I ask someone to stand up, and I say, would you please stand up, and they stand up, they heard the word and they did the word. Does that make sense? So hearing and doing, loved one, is one act. And works never, ever produce salvation. We got to be careful with that. But salvation always produces works. It says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love, and love, agape, is always a verb, has to be demonstrated. Let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed, or in good works, and in truth, meaning sound doctrine. So to walk in good works that God prepared for us before time began, it requires action on my part, action on your part. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. We get our word from the word in the Greek, imitate. We get our word to mimic, if you will. Like we're a chip off the old block or whatever. So the Bible teaches us that we're to be imitators of God our Father as dear children. Does that mean that we're going to speak the stars into existence? No, that's not what it's talking about. It's meaning that, listen, to imitate God, you can do that because God is our Father. Whenever a person is born from above, something happens. Romans 8:15 says, "For we did not receive the spirit of fear to bondage again, but we received the spirit of adoption by where we cry out, Abba, Father, where God's spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed the children or the sons and daughters of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus our Lord." So not only that, we can be imitators of God because 2 Peter 1:4 says that we are partakers, we share in the divine nature of God. Is that unbelievable that the divine nature of God lives in you? We read that over and it just goes right over the church's head so often. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:17 that we are, because of God's word, that we are complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is, if you know the word of God and you practice the word of God. So, with all that being said this morning, how does the church walk in the good works that God has prepared? Well, number one, we do so by doing what Jesus did. The second thing is, we do so by taking up his yoke and learning from him. And the third way is by following his perfect example. Let me give you the scripture, 1 Peter 2:21. It says that we should, in Christ who suffered for us, having and leaving us an example, okay, that word example, only found in the Greek right here, example that you should follow, really closely follow Jesus' steps. That's a perfect word right there, an example, that he is our example that we should follow. You know, like I told the first service, the word example there means so closely, step by step, doing that outline. Now, if you're as old as I am, 45, you'll remember that if you were in the first grade, remember the big chief or the red chief notebook they gave you? And in it was the alphabet. And you would take your pencil or pen, it was pencils, I think, back then, and you would outline, you know, here's an A, you know, and so you'd know how to do it correctly and all of that. And so as you did that, that's the same thing that's happening right here. We trace the steps of Jesus slowly, making sure we're right in his path. And he is our only example. There's no other examples, just Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in Jesus, okay, then he ought, and the word ought means you're indebted, ought to walk just as he walked. Loved one, listen, that right there tells us that we are obligated to walk just as he walked on this earth. You say, Bill, I can't do that. Well, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 14:12, most assuredly, that is amen and amen in the Greek, okay? In other words, it's truth, perfect truth. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, do you believe in Jesus this morning? Okay. He says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, the good works that Jesus did, the works that I do, he will do also, those who believe in him, okay? And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father in heaven. Listen to me. Jesus is sitting right now at the right hand of God. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. However, though, Jesus' life on this earth, his life is not finished. See, his life is in his followers. Amen? Three of you. Oh, Lord. Listen, what did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, Paul says, I'm dead. I'm not here anymore, not Paul. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, Jesus lives in us, amen? His life is in us right now. We're his body. He's the head. He's the head of the church, loved one. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he says, for me to live and walk on this earth, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, listen, Colossians 1:27, the mystery. Christ in us, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Listen, if Christ is in us, and he is, we go about, and Jesus still goes about because his life is in us right this minute. He goes about doing good in this world. We do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Listen, Jesus became man, the God-man. Jesus became one of us, except without sin, of course. Why? That we might become like him. That we might go from glory to glory to glory into Christ likeness, loved one. Now, will you turn and look at one scripture with me in Acts chapter 13 and look there in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Now, let me set this up for you. You know, Peter is now in a Gentile household, and he is preaching the gospel, man, and the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and all of his household. They start speaking in other tongues and so forth. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so Peter is now, and he's talking, and he says in verse 38 of chapter 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Good. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And some of you are looking at that and saying, well, Bill, wait a minute. We're 21st century Christians, and this is supernatural. This is Jesus. He's God. Well, let me ask you another question then, or you a question. Are we to follow his example? Yes, we just learned that. Did Jesus go about doing good? Then the church is to go about doing good. Listen, supernatural ministry requires supernatural power. I'm going to ask you a question. The good works that God has prepared, he prepared beforehand. Amen? If he had prepared them beforehand, are God's work, are they natural or supernatural? They're supernatural. Do you understand that the works that God has already provided, that you're to walk in, they're not natural works. Man, they are supernatural. They come down from God, and he's prepared them for every believer and for all, and for his church, loved one. So listen, the church is supernatural. We were birthed by, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. The church was birthed by the Holy Spirit, amen? And the only way the church can continue is not in the wisdom of man, or the plan of man. The only way the church continues to move in the power of God is by the Holy Spirit of God. There's absolutely no other way. So the pattern or the sound doctrine, it hasn't changed. The Christian here today, we do good works only by the power of another, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Remember in the upper room, Jesus is going to ascend to the Father. And there he tells the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem, that you'd be endued with power from upon high. And Jesus' last words to the disciple, or the 120, if you will, that were there in the upper room, was Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When he says this, when the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, not in you, they were already born again, just like we're already born again. And he uses the word upon, epi, in the Greek, meaning not to come into the person, because the Holy Spirit already sealed them, but to come upon that person. And he says, and endue you with power, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Man, listen, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, amen? Because if we don't have it, we are then powerless, especially to do good works. So Jesus went about doing good. He's the head of the church. We're his body. Shouldn't his church go about doing good? Amen? The good works that God has prepared and so forth. Wherever Jesus went, he did good. Can you imagine traveling with our Lord? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the multitudes. He opened the eyes of the blind. Oh, he loved people. He gave people hope. He gave people life, loved one. Listen, you know, we may not, of course, I know, do all of those kind of miracles, of course. But we can certainly do something. We can see people the way Jesus does. Amen? And we can love them and have compassion upon them. But let me ask you a question. And I say this not in a judgmental way, but I do say it in a loving way to challenge you. You know, when Jesus went about doing good, healing people and so forth, when is the last time, Christian, you laid your hands on someone who was sick and prayed that God would heal him. Some of you have never done that in your life. Yet we're commanded in James, pray ye one for another that you might be what? Healed. Well, you can't, if you're not going to pray ye one for another, then there might not be anybody getting healed. See, the word of God is true. When Jesus ascended in the Gospel of Mark, when he gave the disciples and all those that were present the Great Commission, he said unto them in Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved. He who doesn't will be condemned. Here it comes. These signs, these spiritual gifts, these signs will follow them that believe, the ones that are already saved. He says, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, set down at the right hand of God. Now listen, let me stop right there. Jesus is now ascended, okay? Here come the disciples. They heard the word of God to go out into the world, and these signs are going to follow them that believe, and listen to what happened. And they went out, man, and they started preaching the gospel everywhere. Listen carefully. And the Lord working with them. Well, but he's in heaven, but he's also here. Amen? The Lord working with them. How did he do it? Confirming the word through accompanying signs. Listen to me now. All the gifts of the Spirit, which people say have passed away or don't believe or they're afraid of them or whatever, all the gifts of the Spirit are available to the believer today, but only as the Holy Spirit wills, not as we will, as He moves, not as we move, not as we want to make it happen, but as He wants to make it happen. And we are not called to copy Jesus' miracles, but we are called certainly to copy His example. Amen. And we are never more, the church, the Christian, we are never more like Jesus than when we are going about doing good, the good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It says that Jesus said he healed all who were oppressed of the devil. All who were oppressed of the devil. All who were oppressed of the devil. Is the devil still here? Well, then you know what? People are still being oppressed. Amen? And we're to counteract that. We're to do those things, loved one. Listen, you say, Bill, but you know, the thing is that it says that God was with Jesus. Well, Jesus is God. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus with you? No, do you really believe that? The unseen Lord, is he with you? Well, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, what did he say? He said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Not only that, not only is he with us right now, is he Emmanuel? What does that mean? God with us. He is with us right this very, very moment. Listen, you know, when we think about all that God is doing, I want you to lower the screen. Is it already lowered for me or is it lowered? I want you to look at some pictures here. May I tell you that the works that God has done here, we don't need to go to any other place, just what God has done here. Did you know that Haltom Christian School is God's good work? It's not our good work. And we have the honor, the privilege of walking in that. Do you know that? Church, talk to me. I need you to talk. I'm getting to worry about you. Listen, do you understand the privilege? Haltom Christian School, it didn't. How did it happen? Did it just appear? Listen, whenever I built years ago, whenever we built the other first over there, we designed that for classrooms. But, you know, because I felt, Lord, one day I felt quickened about it, but nothing happened until Heather came along. Are you following me? But see, it's not her work. She is participating in God's good work. Does that make sense? And it's a supernatural work that only God can sustain. And when you do it and you walk into God's good work, what happens? He builds it. He prepared it before eternity. In eternity. I say, oh my gosh, think about that. I mean, is Mexico God's good work? Did he prepare that before the foundation of the earth? Yes, and he prepared it that we should walk in them. Look at those kids up there. You see, there's three pictures that I want you to see. Steve and Carol, I talked with them yesterday on the phone. I'm talking about the church doing good. The church doing good works.
Thomas told me to take an allergy pill. Who wants to obey their son? You follow me? No, I mean, look at those kids. Listen to what Stephen Carroll said. He said, oh, listen, last time, Bill, we mentioned the 13-year-old girl that came to the orphanage last week. After the investigation, it turns out that she had five other siblings, two sisters and three brothers, which were abused and found in pretty poor condition. Matter of fact, they were found without water, without electricity, without food, without family. And they had not bathed in over 30 days. They were all brought to the orphanage on Thursday night. As you can see from the photo taken, when they arrived, they had no shoes. They were in a filthy condition, and they were hungry. That being said, a total of six new kids will now be living at the orphanage. And boy, it's been busy. We're scrambling to find enough space and beds and linens, all the necessities. And the youngest one, oh, she's 1 year old. She's in diapers. So we're trying to get twin beds and purchased, and babies are sharing cribs together, but thankfully everything's coming together. Listen to me. Is that a good work? That's God's good work. And all of us, we share in that good work that God prepared before the foundation of the earth. I asked Danielle to have all the kids. They shared in this good work. You know what they did? They all created handmade Christmas cards for every person, every child at the orphanage that I have on my desk right now that are going to be sent out to Stephen Carroll for Christmas. Listen, you think about all the good things that God has done. You see these children up here? You know why they're eating? You know why they're eating? You know why they're warm? You know why they're getting medical care right now? Been beaten? You know why? Because of you. You are walking in the supernatural good work of God. Listen, God raised this work up. I didn't raise that work up. When I went to Mexico after we left Africa, listen, I didn't know what to do. You know, tell me how stupid I am. Let me tell you what I did. I hired a taxi cab driver and drive me around Mexico. He says, where do you want to go? I said, I don't know. I really had a plan, didn't I? You see, but God is the one who directed our steps. God's the one who has done it all. See, it's why. It's His good work that He prepared for this generation at this particular time, right this very minute, that we should walk in them. Listen, Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth is not my work. It is God's good work. You know, I tried to stop this good work. Did you know that? I didn't want to pastor anymore. After I left my first pastor, I never want. I'll be an evangelist, you know, hold the mic and be cool. No. I was preaching in New England, and I'd been up there, had a wonderful time. I got on the plane, was coming home, but before I left, I had stopped the fellowship. In other words, us meeting in my home, back in our house. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I got on the plane, flying home. I was very satisfied in New Hampshire, great time, Vermont and all that area. And as God is my witness, He spoke to me. He said, son, why did you stop what I started? And I knew immediately I'd sinned. In other words, that good work, this place here, was planned in eternity. Do you understand that? It wasn't planned by me. You are now participating in God's supernatural plan. Does that not turn you on? Does that not excite you? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? When you think about Calvary or Halton Christian School or Mexico, listen, they'll all be mentioned in eternity. No, that's not right. They have already been mentioned in eternity because they came out of eternity, because they're God's good works that He prepared before eternity. Amen? Listen, for us to walk in, you know, when we do good, when we do what God tells us to do, when the lost, when they see us, and all people see us, you know what they see? They see the goodness of God in action. That's what they see. The Bible teaches us in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, meaning the good works that God has planned, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. We don't get the glory. We get to participate in the glory. Amen? That's what it's all about. You know, I'm going to say something that's going to offend you right now. Either you or me
there's something blocking what I'm saying. Probably me. And I don't understand it, and I don't like it. I feel a resistance. And this is not a time to resist God's word. This is a time to get on board. We don't know what's going to happen in 2023, but God does. Amen. If Jesus tarries, he may come for us tonight. You know, I asked the first service, I closed with a question, and I thought deeply about this in my prayer time this morning. You know, what do you really want out of your life right now? In the first service, I walked down on the floor. I haven't done that in a long time, but I'm not going to do it to you. What do you want? What do you really want? What do you want in this life? The Bible says in the beginning, whenever God created the world, he says, come, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Does that not blow you away? God says, I'm going to make Adam. I'm going to make man. And we're going to create him in our image and our likeness. Can you see the creator of all things bending over and looking at Adam and seeing his reflection? Because he was created in his image. What image do you want to be created in, loved one? Adam lost it at the fall because he walked away from grace and became his own God, and his eyes were opened, remember? What do you, like I said in the early service, you ever read the obituaries? What do you want it to say about you? Well, I love fishing. I loved hunting. I loved the Dallas Cowboys. I had a great hobby. I worked on my boat all the time. I love my grandchildren. Billy liked Corvettes or whatever. Do you understand? There's nothing wrong with that. But is that what you want? Because I don't want that. I like I said earlier in the first service, I don't want to be. I love Paul the Apostle. Man, I want to meet him. But I don't want to be like Paul. I don't. John, the Apostle of Love. Man, I love that guy. But I don't want to be John. Man, Luke, oh gosh, what a scholar. What a great doctor, the beloved physician. But I don't want to be like Luke. You know what I want to do? I want to bend over and I want to behold the author and the finisher of my faith. And I want to bear his reflection on this planet. Does that make sense? I want to bear, the church must bear his reflection. In other words, where we're changing, we're into Christ's likeness, into the same image of our Lord. We're going from glory to glory to glory. I don't know which direction that we need to take except one. We need to be obedient to God. That's all I know. And the fact is, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. We all have a choice to make. Are we going to play church or are we going to be the church? If I knew I was going to die tomorrow, I would not want my tombstone or my obituary to read, well, old Bill, he liked Corvettes and, you know, he loved his family. And there's nothing wrong with it. God, hello? But I'd want it to say, he lived for one thing, Jesus Christ. Because there is nothing else worth living for. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're not a good work, in other words, if God is not working in you, then you're not saved. And I'm not, maybe, I know this is the second service. All of us are normally believers here, but maybe that's you, that you're not saved. You've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And he wants to make you a good work. And the only way he can do it is for you to be born again. You say, well, Bill, how do I do that? Well, you don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to do any of those things. You just have to lift your hand high and put it right back down, and I'll know to pray for you. Is there anyone this morning? Say, Bill, I want to become God's good work. I want to be saved. I want, right now, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Anyone quickly? Then, Father, you see the hands? There are not any. Maybe they're online. If they are, you just ask Christ to come into your heart right now. Say, Jesus, save me, and he will. And Lord, I don't know what needs to happen with either me or this second service, but there's something amiss. That's not blame, Lord. That's concern. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who can do all things, the one who said there's nothing too hard for me, Father, whatever is trying to steal this service, whether it be the powers of darkness or any other thing, whatever it is, Lord God, remove it, displace it, cast it far from this place, and let your freedom, let your joy, let the excitement of heaven fill this service. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I pray you have a wonderful rest of the day. If you need prayer, Jesse's going to close us out with song. The people will be here to pray with you and for you. If you're visiting for the very first time, I'm going to depart over to the main lobby. They have a free gift they'd love to give you. I'd love to meet you as well. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' name.